بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد, What's the value of dunya? What's the value of this life we're living? Is there anyone in the world that can better define dunya than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was sent as a mercy to all of the people on the dunya? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't forget to say alayhi salatu wasalam, he was walking by the market in Medina. As he was walking, he found a dead jadi. Jadi is the son of a goat, small one. That jadi was dead and its ears were chopped off. It was rotten, it was disgusting. The Prophet went down, grabbed the jadi, and he told the Sahaba, Ayyukum, who amongst you would buy this dead goat, if you wish to say, for one dirham, not even a dollar, for one dirham. The Sahaba said, O Rasulullah, who in the world would buy such thing? It's dead, it's disgusting. He said, who would take it? Who would take it? Now the offer is for free. Who would wish he would have something like this? The Sahaba said, O Rasulullah, even if it was alive, we will not take it because the way it looks with the chopped ears, let alone it's dead. He said, فَوَاللَّهِ فَوَاللَّهِ. And the Prophet doesn't have to say wallahi. Does he have to say wallahi? He doesn't have to. But he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ هَذَا عَلَيْكُمْ. Dunya, the value of dunya in the sight of Allah is lower than that dead, disgusting goat. Is it compared to you guys? So what dunya are we fighting for? What dunya is causing our ties of kinship to be cut when the father passes away and the will is distributed and people are not pleased? What dunya is the reason for people to break up in their friendship and relationship? What dunya causes a person to wish suicide? Why? Because someone was proposing to me and then someone rejected them and it just didn't work out. Why? What dunya are we talking about? So I have to make sure we show you the perspective of dunya first before taking any further step in today's discussion. One more. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with a sahaba and all of a sudden he says, now a man from Jannah is about to enter. All of the sahaba, every single one of them, immediately rotated their heads, looked at the door. Who was that man? Because their concern is Jannah, the afterlife, not this life. They understood the goat, they understood that disgusting life we live in. Corruption, lies, killing, bloodshed, cutting the ties of kinship. Corruption all over the place. They understood it's all about hereafter. It's all about Allah being pleased with me. That's all what matters. All of them looked. Amongst them was Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As. Every hadith I'm mentioning is authentic, unless I tell you otherwise. Abdullah bin Amr, and look at this detail. He says, the man that walked in, his beard was wet. Look how much they focus, because they truly want Jannah. And he grabbed his slippers with his left hand. Allahu Akbar. And he placed his slippers on the shelf. Second day, Rasulullah, second day, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, now a man from Jannah is about to enter. Everybody looked again. They're not bored. They want to know, who is that man? What difference does he do? What is it that he does that gave him that rank? They all looked. Third day, out of a sudden, الآن يدخل عليكم رجل من أهل الجنة. Now a man from who is promised paradise is about to enter. And that man doesn't know the Prophet is saying that about him. And it was the same man, first, second, and third day. Abdullah bin Amr al-As, may Allah be pleased by him, he could not handle this anymore. He went to him. He said, I have a problem with my father. We had a fight. And I told my father that I will not speak to you for 3 nights. So would you mind if you host me for 3 nights? The man said, sure, let's go. All what Abdullah wants is to go check this guy's life out. What is it that he does that Allah made the Prophet know that he has this rank and he's still alive? He's still alive. He went to the house and he was monitoring every single step, and I will not exaggerate if I say every single blink. I will prove it to you. Abdullah says when he was sleeping, that man, when he would wake up in the middle of the night, what does that mean? What does that mean? Abdullah, did Abdullah sleep? He was waiting. He said when he would wake up in the middle of the night, he would say Allahu Akbar and Dhikrullah. But he would not step up and pray Qiyam al-Layl, pray the night prayers, until he would go back to sleep, until he prayed Fajr. Abdullah says, I spent 3 nights with him, أَنَكِدْتُ أَنْ أَحْتَقِرَنَّ عَمَلَهُ, which means, I was about to not just be okay with what he does, rather, I was about to belittle what he does. It was just so little compared to what we do. So then Abdullah went to the man and he said, to be honest with you, I have no dispute between me and my father. Rather, it was the Prophet ﷺ who said 3 consecutive days that a man from Jannah will walk, and you were the same person every single day. That's why I came to monitor, and I could not find anything special about you. Sorry to say that. So do you know what made you have this rank? Do you know? The man said, as you have seen, that's all what I do. Abdullah bin Amr, a little painful moment. I couldn't find anything special. He's walking outside the door. And then Abdullah, the other man, calls, Ya Abdullah, hold on. I think I know. Abdullah rushed. Huh, what is it? He said, throughout his day, he makes sure, before the day is ending, that I empty my heart from any hate, from any grudge, from any envy, from any jealousy, any ill feelings in my heart is emptied. I empty it. I forgive everyone. Then I continue with my day. Abdullah bin Amr says, هذه هي, this is it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why Allah gave you that rank, because of this. And then he says, لا نطيق, this is what we cannot handle, it's very tough, but we're going to work on it as much as possible. For forgiving others, he was promised paradise while still being alive. Now, after hearing this, do we have to continue the talk anymore? Do we have to talk more and more until 9 o'clock? Is it worth it? Isn't it enough? Sahaba, that dead goat is enough to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking. And he said to the Sahaba, had Allah valued dunya as much as the wing of the fly, the kafir will not even drink a sip of water. So the dunya is such an invaluable point in the sight of Allah to an extent, it's not even worth the wing of a mosquito. Just realize that. So can our beloved parents forgive us, forgive their children? I'll just mention 8 categories really quick. Our parents, can you please forgive us? For wallahi, we know, most of us know, that the number one priority in our life, the number one person that we should fulfill their rights are our parents, according to the Quran and Sunnah. Number one on earth, the whole world stops when your mom says, give me a cup of water. The whole world stops, you go get the cup of water. Would you please forgive me if I was a millisecond late? Seek forgiveness from your parents. For wallahi, oh my dear beloved auntie and uncle and parents. And I know my mom will watch this, because my mom watches every video that I record, by the way. She checks what I say, any politics, anything I do wrong. And she advises, she calls me. She said, I said, why did you say that? So I asked my mom to forgive me. For wallahi, had oh my mom and our parents not forgive us, wallahi, thumma wallahi, thumma wallahi, we will be doomed in this life and in the afterlife, no matter how religious we may seem to be. We ask our brothers and sisters to forgive their older siblings. If one day you went to go to soccer practice or to a party, and you asked them to give you a ride, and they were so lazy to drive you, and they ignored you, and you missed the party, forgive them. For the brothers and sisters, forgive your younger siblings. If they were ever annoying throughout your life, knocking on the door and running away, calling you names and making fun of your voice and the tone and the language, be patient, especially if they go through the age of puberty when they're stubborn. I got a private message on Facebook by a sister. She says, brother, me and my younger brother, we love to watch YouTube videos. So since my brother appreciates your videos and he watches them, would you please do a video about anger management and patience? Because my brother, younger brother, is going through the age of puberty, and you know, they're stubborn, they're angry. So I tell her, she'll watch this with her brother, forgive each other. Can our younger brothers and sisters forgive our parents? Forgive your parents. And Allah knows, the older they get, what happens? The less patient they become. Allah says in the Quran,
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما.
Don't even blow hard. Not even saying a word. Don't even say, "Uff." وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. And don't say anything that would hurt them anyway, in any shape. A look, a stare, a move, closing the door hard. Don't do that. Rather, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Rather, say something that is gentle, full of love and respect to your parents. Can we forgive our parents and be patient with them? Forgive all your friends and relatives. Forgive your friends, colleagues at work and neighbors and all everybody around you. Forgive them. Forgive your friends even if they were non-Muslims. Forgive them regardless what they've done. Forgive those who wronged you and oppressed you. Hold on. I'm not saying give up your right. Seek your right, but without having any ill feelings. Be like Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He was fighting another Muslim due to a dispute that happened between them without any further details. They fought, they were killing each other. Iqama time comes, Allahu Akbar Ali with the one who he's fighting with. This aside, and this is aside. We got court between us, no problem. We go to the lawyer, we fix things out, we have lunch together. Ill feelings aside, solve the case, seek your rights. Is it clear? But whenever you have the upper hand, and you can overpower the person, use that route of forgiveness. Forgive, forgive, brothers and sisters. The value of forgiving. Why should you forgive? Why? Why? That pain in your heart. Why? That sister who emailed me, she was explaining her life in a very brief, that she volunteers at almost every convention that happens somewhere in North America. She says, I have access to all the shuyukh you can think about. And I don't want to give you any more details because had I tell you, brother, about me a little more, you will know who am I. But I'm emailing you hoping that you might help me somehow. A man who came to propose to me when I was 19 years old, promising to get married to me. Years and years pass by and he never comes and acts like a man and proposes, trying to go from the rear window. He eventually stops talking to me. Now I'm 26 years old and I'm not married anymore. Not hoping to get married anymore. She says, I wake up every day hoping that a car would come and hit me so I can die. Look at the volunteer that she does and how much deen and how much knowledge we thought she would have. I tell her also to forgive that man. Why? Why? I know it's painful. I'll mention three reasons. Pay attention. Three reasons. Number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اغفروا, forgive. يغفر الله لكم, Allah will forgive you. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. The Prophet promised you. Are you guys doubting this? What does Allah forgiving you mean? Huh? We say astaghfirullah, what does it mean? Pay attention. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you, three things occur by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, Allah will conceal, will forgive taghtiyah, sitara, hijab over the shortcomings which you have done in this dunya. How many times were you behind a screen watching something you're not supposed to be watching? How many times were you in a gathering listening to backbiting and Allah concealed you and did not expose you? How many times, how many times, how many times did you drive over the speed limit and Allah willed that the cop does not see you? How many times, how many times? When you forgive the people, Allah forgives you and He conceals your shortcomings. That, not just that, hold on. And when you go in the hereafter and you're in front of billions and billions and billions of people, and everybody's naked, naked. وَلَا هَمْسَى. And you don't even hear whispering between billions of people. And you'll be called by your name. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, come, هَلُمَّ عَلَى الْعَرْضِ عَلَى الْجَبَّارِ. Come and meet your Lord Al-Jabbar to negotiate and to talk about the things that which you have done. Had you forgive the people and Allah will forgive you, Allah will put a hijab, a curtain, that no one amongst the billions can hear the conversation between you and Allah, and no one can know what's going on behind these closed doors. Doesn't stop here. The lastly, when you ask Allah to forgive you, now when you say Astaghfirullah, you feel it. Now when you forgive, you feel it. Allah will forgive me, inshaAllah. Allah will put a hijab between you and the hellfire. Jannah is sin free. Jannah is sin free. No one is allowed to go to Jannah with sins. Had you forgive, Allah will cover your sins and will not make you have to filter out your sins in hellfire, will put a blockage for you. So concealing you in dunya, concealing you in front of billions of people when you meet him, and putting a barrier between you and Jahannam. Can we forgive now? Can you forgive now? Or do you want more? Are you amongst the ones that are saying, brother, no, talk as much as you want. But the thing that happened to me, I will never forgive that person. No, it's tough, it's difficult. No way. Soften the heart. Soften the heart, massage your heart, literally. Astaghfirullah. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. Number two, when you forgive, brothers and sisters, look at this. Your reward is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله. And whomever forgives and makes reconciliation, your reward is on Allah. Your reward is on Allah. Do you guys comprehend what we're saying right now? When I tell you your reward is on Allah. When I went for Hajj in 08, the man who was organizing the Hajj group literally robbed us. Literally robbed us. And he told us in our faces that you can't do anything about it. We paid for a 5-star hotel, he gave us 3 stars. No problem, but we're not angry about 3 stars. But we paid for 5. And he told us in our faces, do something about it. Allahu Akbar. Such painful moment, my mom was with me. And our brother, Dr. Abdul Qadir Tayyibi, was with us. He cried because he was the one who was giving the halaqat and so on. He felt guilty. So much pain in our hearts. We told the people, what should we do? What should we do? They said, go to who? The Ministry of Hajj, Wizarat al-Hajj. What will happen? Once you go there, we, according to the history, they're very liable. They actually go and help people out who have been robbed by their agencies, the Hajj groups. So we rushed. We went there. We personally talked to the minister himself. You got proof? Proofs. Receipts. Anything else? Yes, I used to record the Hajj camp that we had. And we happened to record the conversation which he used to say. Beautiful. We give it to him. He said, I got you. Your reward is on me. He said that with confirmation, and we said, let's relax. Let's relax. Before I move any forward. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whomever forgives and makes reconciliation, what happens? Your reward is on the Ministry of Hajj. It's on Allah. On Allah. What did the man do? Wallahi, the next Hajj season didn't come. Except that man was exposed. And that agency was shut down. And they were trying to give us back a portion of the money which we lost. Khalas, we stress the Ministry of Hajj. How far you want to go after that? I tell you, forgive and your reward is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith which Al-Albani weakens a bit. And please pay attention to this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا وَقَفَ الْعِبَادُ نَادَى مُنَادُ. When everybody's standing up, when the sun is 1 mile away from us on the Day of Judgment, when we are right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1 mile away from us, people would be sweating. Some people would be sweating until their knees, some to their navel, to their belly button, and some will go all the way to their nose, and some will be drowning with the sweat. On that day, a caller will call under the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When everybody around is silent, وَلَا hamsa, no whisper. What is he saying? He said, لِيَقُمْ مَنْ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَلِيَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Whomever the reward is on Allah, let them enter Jannah. And a group of people, they walk and they go to Jannah. One more time. وَيُنَادِي ثَانِيَةً. Second time. لِيَقُمْ مَنْ كَانَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَلِيَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That the one who their reward is on Allah, let them enter Jannah. The people asked, who are those whom their reward is in Jannah? Who are those? They are Al-Afuna anin nas. Allahu Akbar. Those who forgive the people. SubhanAllah. Are you still hard-headed? Is your heart still stiff after all of that? SubhanAllah. They go to Jannah. And what's even mind-boggling and even more amazing, they will go to Jannah bila hisab. They will go to Jannah without any question or judgment. No question, no judgment, right to Jannah. Just for forgiving. Just for someone who wronged you over dunya. That is a disgusting dunya. For dunya that is not even waiting a wing of a mosquito. You will enter everlasting, continuously increasing happiness, ultimate happiness in Jannah. For something not even equal to a wing of a fly. Third and last in terms of value and reward. And this is my favorite and dearest to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse, and the verse starts,
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين.
Those who suppress their anger, not suppression that not that kind of suppression. No. Al-kadhimin al-ghayz means you suppress the anger in a way that the one in front of you does not know you're angry. One more time. Al-kadhimin al-ghayz, those who suppress their anger in a way that you cannot tell they're angry. Then Allah says, what else? Wal-'afina 'anin-nas, and those who forgive the people. Allah, what will He give us? What's in return? What will happen? Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. No translation, you will know what does habibi mean. You know what habibi means, right? Any culture would know habibi. You'll be Allah's habib. You'll be Allah's habibi in our terms, the way we say it. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. And if Allah loves you, what in the world matters after that? If Allah loves you, then what is it that you fear? If Allah loves you, then who in the world would dare to harm you? If Allah loves you, then how in the world you will not experience happiness in this life and the hereafter? If Allah loves you, what else in the world matters? Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us amongst the ones whom He loves. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Ameen, ameen. Brothers, you know the difference between those who forgive and those who do not forgive? You would notice a difference. Those who do not forgive, they keep holding it in their heart. And many times, it serves as a barrier between them and moving forward in their life and their future. It's like a barrier. So that girl who I told you about that got hurt, she'll say, I will never get married anymore. Why? I don't want to ever get married. I want to kill myself. Why? There's a big difference between those who forgive and those who do not forgive. And I would like to illustrate this to you physically and see it. Those who do not forgive, brothers and sisters, are as if they're carrying a very, very heavy bag, literally speaking. And they got so used to it that they can no longer think about the weight they have on their shoulders. They go, take it easy, forgive. No, stop. You're not forgiving, it's like you're stopping your life. You can move forward. You have so much potential. Move forward. La, khalas. The weight, and they forget about the weight on their shoulders. Hardly moving. So angry. And you can see it in their faces when they meet the other person whom they have ill feelings towards. You see it, they're like not smiling, no salam, no nothing. Destroying the relationship. Why? Why? Over what? So what should we do? We should empty that bag. The point of this talk is to empty that bag. And had you faced something like that, to make sure you're equipped with knowledge, with iman, to push it away and forgive. So inshallah, we're going to get a garbage bin together inshallah. This is a bit heavy. Just make dua doesn't get ripped apart. If the garbage bin breaks, I'll buy a new one, inshallah, okay? But you gotta promise we forgive. Inshallah. Are you guys ready to forgive? No matter what they've done. No matter what they've done. So he grabbed that bag. And inshallah, after this talk, you say, oh Allah, even during the talk, oh Allah, I forgive anyone that wronged me. And you open that dark memories which you have and the ugly imagery in your mind, and you start taking them out. And you grab it. This is the bad memories you've had with the friends when that guy was driving and he cut in front of you in the highway, remember? And you cursed at him and you hated him and you wished that he would smash a wall. Remember, sister, that girl that wrote something bad about you on Twitter and Facebook? And you're like, I will never forget her and I'll get her for what she's done. No. You forgive. You're a Muslim. You're a believer. You grab this and you throw it right there. You forgive. Huh? There's still some weight. It's a little heavier. Yes. This is the ill feelings you have with your relatives and family. This is serious. Forgive every single relative that is around you. Forgive them for not calling you when they traveled overseas. Forgive them for not replying to your emails or through your phone calls. Forgive them if they took some of the will of your father when he passed away and you're so angry. No, forgive them, forgive them. Seek your rights, but don't have any ill feeling and throw it away. Wallahi, wallahi, the moment you do that, it'll be so nice and relaxing. You can walk always like this. Keep it open. Anyone that wrongs you, just empty, empty, forgive. And so light that I can't even know that I'm having a bag upon me. The big difference between those who forgive and those who do not forgive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soften our hearts and make us amongst those who forgive. Say ameen. Ameen, ya Rabb. Tayyib, why would some people not forgive? Why? I'll just mention two reasons. Sometimes, you know why we don't forgive? And the people know that that problem is so trivial and so small that they're shy to talk about it. Like, why you guys are not talking together? Don't worry about it. Why? Because they're so shy, because it's embarrassing for how tiny that problem is. So why they don't forgive? For a disease in the heart. For a disease in the heart. Arrogance. Stubbornness. I don't say sorry. No. I don't say sorry. No. She comes to me. But you're wronged. And you know, sometimes heart diseases are worse than physical, outside, external diseases. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقل ذرة من كبر. A person with an atom weight of arrogance, just a tiny bit, that your naked eye cannot see, I need a microscope. You had this much arrogance in your heart, you will not enter Jannah. Stubbornness. Envy and jealousy and worrying about your reputation. No, I can't forgive. Why? Because I'm such and such. Like who, for example? Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah. He defended the Prophet so much. The Prophet loved him. He was such an amazing person. The Prophet, when Abu Talib was dying, question, did Abu Talib die as a Muslim or a kafir? Kafir, right? Question, you're right. Did he believe that he was a prophet? He did. But he did not practice it, so he refused to be a Muslim. What happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam memorized this. He told his uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Just say لا إله, just say لا إله الله. That's all I have to say. And I'll take care of the rest. Just say لا إله إلا الله. Just say that. That's it. That's all I have to say. What was Abu Talib's response? He said, لولا أن تعيرني قريش. If it wasn't that Quraysh will make fun of me, that, oh, he's about to die. That's why he said, لا إله إلا الله. If it wasn't that they would say that about me, I would have said it, وأقررت بها عينك. And I would have made you happy. He knew this is the right message. But because of the ego, لا. I can't let people think I'm weak. And I'll be strong till I die. I will not. SubhanAllah. Watch. If it's a heart disease, make dua to Allah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He purifies our hearts. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse our hearts from every disease. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. What another reason? Sometimes the shaitan ar-rajim whispers in your ears. And he tells you, you would forgive that person after all what they've done to you? Are you going to forgive that person? You know what happens if you forgive them? They will do it again. Don't you think like that sometimes? If you forgive that person, you know what will happen? People will make fun of you. You know what happened if you forgive that person? People will have the feeling of authority to do it one more time to you. Even others who never dared to do something to you, the moment they see that you forgive someone else, they say, why not? Let me do it as well to them. So I tell you, say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. All of us, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. From the heart, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Avoid shaitan. Rather, imitate the righteous and Rasulullah ﷺ and listen to these beautiful incidents. And after these stories, we will conclude inshallah. Look at Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Uthman bin Affan, he used to say, Astaghfirullah in kuntu zalamt. I seek Allah's forgiveness if I've ever wronged anyone. Oh Allah, forgive me if I ever wronged anyone. وَقَدْ عَفَوْتُ إِن كُنْتُ ظَلَمْتْ وَقَدْ عَفَوْتُ إِن كُنْتُ ظُلِمْتْ. And I forgive anyone had they oppressed me. Look at their mentality, look at their thoughts. Look at Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy upon him. Imam Abu Hanifa has over 86,000 fatwas. An ocean of knowledge. Until today, continents follow the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa. One time a man came to him, an ignorant man, a loser, who think that he can irritate those believers with knowledge. He came and he told them, your mom is such and such. Your mom is such and such. What did Abu Hanifa do? Did he hit him back? Did he use his friendship and those who are following him, go and kill him? What did he do? Did he do like some people in our time, especially amongst the youth, they would open a Facebook page titling it, let's knock out such and such person, and they would curse him all over through the page? What would they do? What would he do? You know what he did? Look at this. He said, Allah knows my mom is not like what you said. The guy got so irritated and angry. He told him, Ya Fatiq, Ya Zindiq. He said, Ya Fatiq, you evil doer, Ya Kafir. To Imam Abu Hanifa. What did Abu Hanifa do? Like, oh, whoa. You pushed the line, brother. Okay? You called me a Kafir. You know what does that mean? You go, guys, go kill this guy. Go put him in jail. How about you pay a penalty? Do this, hit him. You know what he said? Look at his humbleness. Look at his understanding of the deen of a believer. He said, oh Allah, if I was like what he said, then please forgive me. Oh Allah, if I was like what he said, please forgive me. And if I wasn't like what he said and he was lying, then oh Allah, please forgive him. Do you think him saying that humiliated Abu Hanifa? Wallahi, it honored him. Wallahi, saying sorry and saying, Allah, forgive me if I wronged someone and apologizing to someone, wallahi, it honors you. Wallahi, it honors you. Saying sorry, it's an honor. And only the arrogant refuses to say sorry. Look at who? Look at a story. By the way, some people, you know what happens throughout this talk right now? Some people, I hope no one is here like that. I hope no one is watching that is like that. Some people, they say, my problem is bigger than all of them which you've mentioned. My problem is bigger, brother. They destroyed my life. They destroyed my family. They destroyed everything around me, everything that I love. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who was amongst his daughters, very famous name. Amongst his daughters, where? Aisha radiallahu anha. Amongst his relatives, a very poor, weak relative, Mustah bin Athatha. When the rumor was spread that Aisha, may Allah be pleased by her, she was accused of committing zina. And Allah has freed her in Surah An-Nur, cleared her out, she's innocent. And whip those who lied. When the rumor was being spread, guess who agreed with it? Mustah bin Athatha. That man who's a relative to Aisha, a relative to Abu Bakr. What's even more interesting, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to give him monthly allowance. Used to pay him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was so angry. I want you guys, before even moving any further, I know it hurts, but please, just for the sake of living what we're saying. This is not a presentation that, Jazakallah khair, we've wasted our Friday halaqa, Jazakallah khair, we learned. No. You need to feel, you need to live. We ask Allah to make this a life-changing talk by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah accept us as people who give righteous advices and those who accept the advice. Ameen. Imagine, someone goes around and he grabs the microphone in the masjid. And he says, calls you by name. Oh, so and so. Oh, people, you know this man? His wife slept with another guy. Please live it. Please imagine. Imagine. Oh, you know such and such person? His daughter committed zina with that guy from high school. Please imagine you walked and you saw the poster of your wife on the billboard and someone accusing her of running, typing things out that she did such and such when she's innocent. I ask you, by Allah, how would you react? Wallahi, would you think twice before killing him? Killing him. Abu Bakr understood what Islam means. Abu Bakr understood what the deen means. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq understood what the dunya is really, how valuable it is. He was so angry. You know what he said? Wallahi, I will no longer give him his monthly allowance. That's it. I will no longer give him his monthly allowance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم.
Don't you love that Allah would to forgive you? A question, I'm asking you a question. Wouldn't you love that Allah would to forgive you? Allah says, ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم. Then Allah says in conclusion, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. And Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Immediately, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, immediately, he said, بَلَا وَاللَّهِ بَلَا أُحِبْ بَلَا أُحِبْ. Yes, oh Allah, yes, I love for you to forgive me, yes. Then he says, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَقْطَعَنَّ. Wallahi, I will never stop giving Mustah his monthly allowance. Is your problem bigger than that? Is your problem bigger than that? It is. Then how can I dare to conclude our speech without mentioning the leader of all those who forgave? Who is it? Who is the leader of examples? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before even moving on the story, realize the first few words. A Jewish lady from the Yahud. She knew the Prophet liked certain pieces of the kharuf or the sheep or the meat. She puts poison in that part. She delivers it to the Prophet ﷺ. She said, eat, enjoy. The Prophet ﷺ eats a bite. Jibreel descends immediately. He says, Ya Rasulullah, stop eating, stop eating. It's poisoned, it's poisoned. Some Sahaba actually died from the poisoned. But this is perhaps a different narration. And this one, the Prophet ate from the meat. And Jibreel came, he said, stop, stop. This poison, the Prophet ﷺ, he ordered that, let that Jewish lady come to me, bring her to me. She was brought to the Prophet ﷺ. He asked her, why did you do that? She said, أَرَدْتُ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. I wanted to kill you. A Jewish lady poisoned the meat to kill the Prophet, and she said it in his face, أَرَدْتُ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. Then the Prophet said, you will not be able to do that. Allah will not let you do that. The Sahaba said, oh Rasulullah, anaqtulaha? Should we kill her? What would you guys think the answer is? Should we kill her? No enemy will ever disagree with that judgment. Isn't that right? No friend, no enemy. No one will say, oh, how did the Prophet do such thing? That's very bad. No. No one will disagree. What did the Prophet say? La. No, don't kill her. She wanted to kill the Prophet, brothers, sisters. He said, no, don't kill her. A Jewish lady. The last story we mentioned. A story that my mind cannot comprehend. Is it more than a Jewish lady? More than a Jewish lady. Who is the worst of people? What's the worst category of human beings? What's the worst category? Who wants to help me out? The worst category of human beings, who are they? Who are they? Go ahead. Try. Say it again. Abu Jahl. You're actually very close. But give me a description. Like just a title. Come on, brothers. Okay, let me ease the question to you. And if you know the answer, don't be humble. Answer it. Don't be shy. And if it's wrong, no problem. Who is in the lowest level in hellfire? The lowest. and he's the worst person ever. في الدرك الأسفل من النار. Excellent. Actually, you mentioned the name, but it's, the description is the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. Look at this. So not a regular munafiq, rather رأس المنافقين, the head of all the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubayn bin Salul. When he passed away, the Prophet was told that Abdullah bin Ubayn bin Salul passed away. What did the Prophet do? Hypocrites. The body was brought. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to pray janazah on him. Munafiq. Umar ibn al-Khattab, now you will realize what I'm talking about. Umar al-Khattab came in front of the Prophet. No, you're not doing this. You're not praying. He fajitu fi sadrih ala sadrik, and right in front of his chest. Atusalli, you're gonna pray ala Abdullah ibn Ubay? يوم فعل كذا وكذا وجلس يعدد ما فعل. And Umar al-Khattab continued to mention to the Prophet and remind him, what did Abdullah do bin Ubayn? Let me mention three things that he did really quick. He did a lot worse than that, but just three quick things. When they went to the battle of Uhud, Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the hypocrites, he was leading a kind of group of the army of the Muslims. And as the battle was approaching, Abdullah bin Ubay, he returned back to Medina with 1/3 of the army. How painful is that? What would the US government do if a soldier would do such thing against the army? You guys know the answer. 1/3, not 20 people, 20, no, 1/3 took back and head back to Medina. One more. One time when they were coming back from a battle, Abdullah bin Ubay, he said, لَإِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ, when we come back to Medina,
يَقُولُونَ لَإِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُّ وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون.
Those who are dignified will kick out those who are humiliated. Who does he mean? That he's dignified and Rasulullah is the one who's humiliated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you want the peak of the things that he has done? You know who began that rumor that Aisha, may Allah be pleased by her, she actually did something haram with another man? Who was the one that flamed this gossip and made it spread around? Who, and the one who initiated? Abdullah bin Ubay. Who's Aisha? The wife of Rasulullah. And who's praying, who's leading the salah? Rasulullah. Umar Khattab narrates the story. He says, as I was speaking, فَكَنَ يَبْتَسِمْ. Unbelievable. He was smiling, the Prophet, as Umar was saying all this stuff, he was smiling. أَفَرَغْتَ يَا عُمَرْ. Are you done, Umar? Are you done? Allahu Akbar. The Prophet told us that Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He's a role model for everyone who wants Allah and the pleasure of Allah and Jannah and happiness. He's your role model. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, أَخَرْتَ عَنِّي, أَخَرْتَ عَنِّي. You've delayed the janazah. Umar, you're delaying the janazah. He said, يَا عُمَرْ, إِنِّي خُيِّرْتُ فَاخْتَرْتُ. I was given two options and I chose one option over the other. He said, Allah said in the Quran,
استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم ذلك بأنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين.
The Prophet said, Allah give me the option, استغفر أو لا تستغفر. And he said, wallahi, had I know that Allah would accept me seeking Allah's forgiveness on Abdullah, if I went over 70, I would have done it. Unbelievable. So then he moved and he prayed janazah on Abdullah bin Ubay. Then after some time, not too long after that, Allah revealed the verse, وَلَا تُصَلِّي, and don't pray on those hypocrites, وَلَا تُصَلِّي عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Don't ever pray on a munafiq again in your life. And we are not at a stage to call who's a hypocrite and who's not. It was only the Prophet who was able to do that. So after all of this, you have a problem bigger than this? So what else do you want? In conclusion, I'll mention two things in conclusion. Number one, if this talk doesn't apply to you, be thankful that Allah didn't have someone wrong you, alhamdulillah. But please do me a favor. If I were to upload this video, Allah knows best, then share it with your friends. And I'm sure you know someone that has this. I'm sure. You know someone. And there's no harm in lying. You can only lie in three situations. And one of them is bringing two people together. You can go to one person and say, for example, let's say Abdullah and Abdulaziz, for example, my friends here, we can pick on them a little bit. Let's say they had a fight. I said, Abdullah, Abdulaziz says that he's sorry, but he's so shy to approach you and say he's sorry. Wallahi, Abdullah, wallahi. Then Abdullah says, Majid, did he really say that? In reality, he did not say that. But I said, yes, he did. Wallahi, he did. Abdullah would soften his heart. He's like, khalas, I'll come forward. Then Abdulaziz says, Abdullah, and they hug each other and they reconcile. The Prophet said, this is not a lie. This is not a lie. Do it, and remember, not a lie. And had you been exposed, I was like, oh, I didn't say that. Who said that? And they get angry. Tell them, I just followed the sunnah of Rasulullah. And they will understand. And they did not understand, don't worry about it. Since Allah is pleased by you. And the last thing, and that's the two points in conclusion, one is done. The last one, please forgive. Please have the heart to forgive. If you want a loan that is on you to be elevated, if you want a sickness in your family to be vanished, if you want someone to have a happy life within your family, if you yourself want a better life, wallahi, forgive. The Prophet ﷺ said, صَنَاءَ الْمَعْرُوفِ تَقِي مَصَارِعِ السُّوءِ. When you do good, Allah protects you from evil ending to your life. You will have a beautiful ending. Forgive. Forgive, brothers and sisters, and Allah will forgive you. Forgive, and your reward is on whom? On Allah. Forgive, and Allah will love you. And if Allah loves you, then what else in the world matters? Jazakum Allah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Alhamdulillah, it was actually less than 50 minutes, alhamdulillah. May Allah reward you for coming. I hope this was of a benefit to you. If you have any advice, please let me know. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.